Well, last month, the epic biopic Oppenheimer won seven Oscars, including the Best Picture, and Christopher Nolan won Best Director. And it was also a big win-win for the movie industry when it was released last August, because that was at the same time, of course, as the Barbie movie. And the Barbenheimer campaign urged people to see both those films, and millions did, making it a bumper month for theatres all around the world. But in Japan, wasn't so much of an appetite for a movie all about the making of the atom bomb, especially as August was the month that the first bombs were dropped on Hiroshima and Nagasaki back in 1945. But this week, Oppenheimer did finally open in Japan, and American journalist Matt Ault is based there, and he's been reporting on entertainment in Japan for more than 20 years. So how much hype was there over the release of the movie?
Oppenheimer's release in Japan was extremely low-key. I don't recall seeing any really billboards or any kind of major advertising for it. In fact, I was only reminded that it was coming out when a preview for it played before another movie in the theaters that we went to several weeks ago. And really, it has been quite a tepid response here in Japan. There are people who are, of course, dramatically opposed to it in any way, shape, or form. There are those who may not like the film, but understand what it is trying to do. They understand the artist Christopher Nolan's intent. And there are those who actually like it. So it is a quite wide variety of responses.
I mean, is there, I don't mean to be crass, but is there a kind of FOMO element to this that, you know, it's been big in the rest of the world and, you know, so much time has elapsed? You know, some people must have been wondering why, or at least curious to see it, even if, you know, they felt it wasn't, you know, entirely appropriate, if that's the right word, to go and see it?
Well, I think among cinephiles and fans of Christopher Nolan, it's a must-see. Among average citizens, probably less so. Consistently, one of the topics I see brought up on Twitter and social media by Japanese audience who have gone to see it is shock, but understanding at the scenes of the jubilance over the tests of the nuclear weapon. As you may or may not be aware, the film doesn't actually show the effect of the weapon that Oppenheimer created on the people who it was dropped upon, which is an artistic choice on the part of the director. And it, from that standpoint, there is some feeling that it portrays the events in a generally positive light that it wouldn't be here in Japan.
But while, of course, it is like intimately related to Japan, the Manhattan Project and all of that, that was the end point of what they were doing out there in New Mexico. And as you say, it isn't featured in the film. I can understand that might disappoint people in Japan, as if that wasn't regarded as part of the story. But having seen the film, it seems consistent to me, because that was part of the message, I guess, that Oppenheimer and the other Manhattan Project scientists were working in almost total isolation, divorced completely from the application of what they were doing. In fact, there's a scene where General Groves, the Matt Damon character, once they've done the test and had the jubilation you referred to, he says, "Thanks, we'll take it from here." And
right.
Oppenheimer says,
right.
"Well, am I coming to you with you to Washington now? And we'll talk about the next steps." And he goes, "Well, what for? So you've done your thing. We, the military and the politicians, will take it from here." So that seems to me to be logically consistent, that, you know, anything outside of what they were doing in that cloistered environment is actually out of scope of the film.
I think it's to the film's credit that it does deliver a nuanced portrait of Oppenheimer, who had very complicated feelings about the actual use of the weapons. I think, you know, and it describes in detail what happened. Verbally, it describes it. And also it describes the effect of the air raids on Tokyo, which are much lesser discussed in the West, but killed even more people than the nuclear bombings did. So this is not a film that is blind to the effects of what happened with the Manhattan Project and the creation of the atomic weapons and the start of the arms race, the post-war arms race. But, you know, it is still, no matter how you look at it, a story told by the victors. And Japan was not the victor in this conflict. And so, while I don't think there is, I haven't seen anything in the way of open protest toward the film. A lot of people here are just kind of ambivalent about it. You know, they feel that it isn't for them. And given that the Japanese aren't portrayed in the film in any really concrete way, I can understand that.
Yeah, I guess there's a slight awkwardness in this conversation we're having, and that here this is a US film, a Hollywood production, if you like, about something huge in Japan's modern history, albeit that it's not depicted literally in the film. And I'm putting you on the spot as an American living in Japan today about how Japanese people, you know, feel about this cultural phenomenon. Of course, and we're not speaking to a Japanese person about it, but, you know, you've lived there a long time and you understand the entertainment industry in Japan and the forces at play here, right?
Well, I'm kind of a veteran of the Japanese media industry. I spent most of my career working with products such as video games and manga and interacting with a lot of different Japanese creators. So, you know, from that standpoint, I feel like I do have a sense for the pulse of what's going on here. But of course, you know, yes, I am speaking to this again from the victor's side. And one of the criticisms levied against the film is it's just a bunch of, you know, white men talking and making decisions about the fate of the rest of the world. So I'm well aware that my stance here is contributing to that. It's not undermining it in any way. So it is a complicated sort of thing.
But the way the entertainment industry works, you know, globally is a really significant part of the story, right? And how that might play in Japan, because we had the Barbenheimer phenomenon, right, of the two films being mashed together, Barbie and Oppenheimer, you know, see one, see both, you know, boom time for the movie industry. And of course, for those things to be released together would have been very inappropriate in Japan. In fact, you wrote at the time, you know, Barbenheimer is an example of the perception gap that exists between Western and Japanese views of the atomic bombing. So the mashing together of those two movies, you know, one pure entertainment, one very heavy history, that would have been extremely awkward if the movies had played out in Japan the same way they did in the rest of the world last year.
Well, I'm glad you brought up Barbenheimer, because it is still very much on the minds of people who are commenting about Oppenheimer in Japan online and speaking about it. The fact that the meme came into existence didn't surprise or really offend many people here in Japan, because Japan is a heavily connected net using country, and people here understand that memes, even edgy ones, will be generated around nearly anything. The anger in Japan was focused almost exclusively on Warner Brothers, who actually amplified that meme. They retweeted it. And so it was seen as a very crass move by a lot of people here in Japan that, you know, this meme exists. It might be good, it might be bad, but when a company gets involved in using it to promote their own content, that is seen as something quite vulgar. And because of that, that actually had a big impact, I think, on how Barbie was viewed here in Japan, which is to say it wasn't a big hit. And I have heard, even from people in my own circle, especially among younger citizens, people in their 20s, that they will never go see Barbie because they feel it has been tainted by this controversy. And that is also kind of rubbed off a little bit on Oppenheimer.
Is it true that some people were even creating and posting tasteless memes of kind of Barbie pink colored mushroom clouds at that time, you know, inspired by Barbenheimer?
The Barbenheimer memes took a lot of different forms, some of which used actual atomic imagery that was colored pink, or where they mashed up the posters of the two films. And I think a large number of Japanese were offended by those. It is offensive style imagery. Now, memes are designed to offend in a lot of ways. So I think most people here, even the ones who were upset about the memes, took it in stride as just an artifact of the way people communicate online.
And when you wrote about this, Matt, back in late last year, and you mentioned that perception gap that you believe exists between Western and Japanese views of the atomic bombings, you actually pointed to something I hadn't really thought about, but there are several films, including one by Christopher Nolan himself, I think one of the Batman series, where they kind of just chuck in a nuclear blast. Is this something that we're a bit blind to, maybe, that is a bit of a Western thing, that people will throw that into a plot line and not really think about how that would travel or not internationally?
Well, I think you would have to have been living under a rock to not understand the effects of the nuclear bombings, of the atomic bombings of Hiroshima and Nagasaki, to not have seen the photos and to be sickened by the human loss. But even still, especially from the American side, the atomic weapons represent a triumphant moment. They are how America won the war. and they are the result of American ingenuity. So I think it is very tempting for a lot of creators who write themselves into a corner, story-wise, to deploy nuclear weapons as a kind of final epic end to a story, especially in a special effects heavy film. You see this over and over again.
Yes, I want to credit the words you wrote, actually. A convenient deus ex machina for special effects spectaculars when the imagination has run out. I thought that was a pretty good summary.
Well, I've always found the use of nuclear weapons in even special effects films to be a very cheap way of ending a film. It's you know, you see it again and again, even in films I like very much. But you know, it is what it is. It does make a big blast, and that is exactly what I think a lot of Hollywood special effects spectaculars are going for, that kind of shock value, that impact, and nuclear weapons in a fictional sense certainly deliver it.
Yeah, and seeing as you raise that, the spectacle, the sonic visceral nature of Nolan's movies and the way he uses sound, so in Oppenheimer, also perhaps a smaller scale thing like Dunkirk, you know, all the aficionados say, oh, you've got to see that in the IMAX to get the full benefit of all the effects and the heavy sound and imagery and so on.
Right.
But I wonder, in Japan, seeing as I think when you picked this up in December, you found it was actually a fairly small indie company that was preparing to release it, you know, again, some months after the rest of the world. So does that mean it didn't play out in any of those big theaters, and it would be a much sort of smaller scale indie experience?
It definitely showed in IMAX in Japan, but the number of IMAX theaters is quite limited here, I think, compared to the United States, urban areas in the United States and other countries that have IMAX. Maybe it's due to the kind of smaller general footprint of movie theaters here. Whatever it is, it did play in IMAX, and the people who saw it in IMAX, many of them sought it out specifically because of that. If you're a cinephile and you are a fan of Christopher Nolan, this film was a must-see. However, it is not performing as well in Japanese theaters as one might expect for a film that had won an Oscar at the American Academy Awards, which is usually a huge boost to films here. In fact, Oppenheimer is currently at number 4 on the box office charts, behind a children's anime called Doraemon, which is about, ironically, an atomic-powered robot cat. So it's a kind of interesting and ironic turn of affairs that this movie about nuclear war is being outperformed by a cartoon here in Japan. But there you have it.
That's extraordinary. And maybe just finally, Matt, is that then a sign that maybe the international movie industry will take to heart that, you know, this is a very significant market? Japan, you know, 130-odd million people, I think, in the country, maybe more by now, and
yes,
that
yes,
they deserve a little bit more respect in the marketing and presentation of you know, major international films.
Well, I like to think that the furor that the Barbenheimer meme caused in Japan was a wake-up call for movie companies. And in fact, a apology was issued shortly after the memes were boosted by the official account. So it does seem that they've taken into account that you can't really joke about these things anymore. And Japanese netizens are becoming much more vocal in expressing their displeasure at memes that they feel are racist or downplaying the Japanese experience. So in a certain sense, if the Oppenheimer release and the Barbie release served as a wake-up call, I think that's a good thing.